Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Leading Through Unprecedented Times. With me for this podcast today is elementary principal from California, Jessica Gomez. Jessica, it is awesome to have you, be able to pick your brain, talk to you a little bit about what's going on in our world. So can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for having me on. My name is Jessica Gomez, and I am an elementary school principal in Colton, California, which is in Southern California. So I've been elementary principal for about 10 years now. I have two children, a daughter who's in sixth grade, a son who's a freshman in high school, and I'm married also to an educational leader who works at the county office level. So as you can imagine, we're a pretty busy educational family.
How about it? And those poor kids are quarantined with the principal, right?
With the principal. I love those memes where it says, yeah, imagine being quarantined with the principal, what that's like.
Right. How about it? You know, Jessica, one of the things one of the reasons I reached out for you to be a guest is you just exude hope in everything that I see, whether it's on Instagram, on Twitter, you're just constantly putting out just such goodness. And so, you know, we are at a time in this pandemic where there's a lot of fear. There's just so much uncertainty. Everybody's kind of strapped down to their homes. Nobody understands we don't know when it's going to end. What is it that right now is giving you hope as a principal? And maybe it's just something in the world. What is it that gives you hope?
Actually, right now, I try to reflect, and I sometimes have to make myself step back a little bit and just kind of take it all in. But right now, as I sit in grade level meetings and talk to my team, just the amount of learning that is happening right now amongst my grade level teams and myself, it's just incredible. The openness that my teachers and my classified staff are trying new things and being vulnerable and taking that risk. They did that already, but not to this level. It has been unreal to be able to see that. And also, the other thing that gives me so much hope is the level of connectedness that they've had with their students and with their families. It's like no other. I don't even know how to explain it. They're connecting now more with parents than they probably ever have. And they are getting to know their kids probably more than they ever have, because they're forced to have to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks. They're forced to have to make sure to connect with them and make sure they're being engaged. But now they're outside of the building and they're getting to see their homes. They're getting to see the obstacles that they're challenged with, and overcoming that and seeing my teams finding ways to reach out to make sure they connect, for me, just gives me so much hope about, wow, when we come back, it's going to be just beautiful with the amount of things that teachers and students are going to be able to do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you mentioned obstacles and working through them. And obviously this has not been business as normal in the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a principal, you constantly have the world on your shoulders anyway, but what are some of the obstacles that you've had to work through in the past couple of weeks, things that have been amplified or magnified? You know, what are those things that are keeping you up at night in that regard? And how are you all as a team working through them?
Yeah. So for me, I think one of the biggest obstacles is how to support the individual needs of my staff, because they're all at different levels. And so in order to best support them, I have to be tuned into them. And so I'm making sure they do at least weekly, just check-ins. We'll do a roll call and give me 1 to 2 words that you're feeling right now. You don't have to give me an explanation. So we go through, and it's great to see how it's evolved over the weeks. And I'm going to put these wordles together for them so they could see how every week it's been changing. And it depends. Like, we had a check-in the day after California announced that we were shutting school for the rest of the school year. So what I heard that day was very different from the first day, and then what I heard afterwards. And I really am starting to log that and journal that, because it's pretty powerful to see the emotions that go up and down. But what I've been able to do is, because I can't be everything to everyone, right? I try, but I can't. And luckily I have really amazing teachers on assignment. So what we decided we were going to do is each teacher on assignment was going to be assigned a certain amount of grade levels according to their strengths and skills. And that's their person. Like, they have that one anchor. So then those three anchors then come to me, and then I'm able to work with them to best support the needs of the teachers. Also, I will, you know, pop into their grade level meetings at least once a week, even if I'm just listening to them, and I'll pop in and say, oh, I heard from another grade level, and supporting them that way. Another obstacle that I've heard is that actually I've been dealing with is how to lead remotely. I'm a very hands-on principal and with my students and my staff. So how do I do that from a computer at my home? So I have to make sure that I stay connected with my PLN across the country, but within my district, and learn on webinars and be part of webinars like Future Ready offers and NASP offer, so that I can be the best leader I can and still be able to be a quote unquote hands-on leader leading from a computer in my loft from my house.
So I'd love to dig into that a little bit further, because you are somebody that leverages social media heavily. I referenced that a few minutes ago, you know, is this idea of a connected educator. You've got colleagues around the country, and I'm guessing some people listening to this podcast might be thinking like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time in the midst of all my work and my jobs. Like, how in the world, why would I use Twitter? I don't have time to be able to do that. And so what is it about being connected? How do you do that? What does that look like? And, you know, how do you get to know these people that you know around the country?
Gosh, you know, it's been a process, right? It didn't happen overnight, but you have to make that effort. You have to make the time to what's important for you. For me, it's important that I grow, and I'm always growing and I'm never stagnant, because once I've hit that stagnant level, how am I going to be better for my staff, and how am I going to model for my staff? But so I go to conferences, I connect, I reach out, I ask, I really, it all started with the Twitter chat. Like I would be this, you know, this person who would just lurk in the back. I'm like, I don't even know how this Twitter chat works. And then I started to figure it out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to press my first answer. And from there, you know, it just took off from there. And so the more I participate in chats, the more I participate in webinars, the more conferences that I might go to and make those personal face-to-face connections, your network starts to grow. And when you're able to reach out to someone like this garden in Massachusetts, I'm in California. I mean, my goodness, right? It's like, wow, how we can, and in Florida with Cindy Emerson, I mean, we're literally at different parts of the country. And it's like, they're just a phone call away. But you need to make time for that, because if you don't make time for your own personal growth, it's a growth. It look at it as a growth opportunity, not a I have to do, or like, oh, who has time for that? Well, if you want to become a better leader, you make time.
Yeah, what an amazing model for your staff there as well, of just your continuous growth mindset, and just such a vital aspect to being a principal, you know, especially at a time like this. So So let me ask you this. One of the things that I know about your work in Colton and that I see you display online is really one of the core tenets of Future Ready Schools, and that's around equity, and whether it's equity in access, yes, equity in opportunity. And, you know, throughout this pandemic, equity has been really called out and been on a front burner. On our Future Ready Schools, we partially say like, well, it needs to be, and it should have been, but in this
should have always been part of the conversation. Exactly.
But it's amplified some of the inequities that are out there. So what are you doing as a building principal, and what's your team doing, or maybe throughout your district, to really keep those students most at risk on the like the heart of all decision making?
So the first thing we did was we set up a school-wide Google Sheet. Each teacher had a tab, had all their students listed. We had some very basic questions. Do you have technology? Do you have a device for each child in the household? Do you have internet? Do you have basic supplies like pencils and paper? Okay. And so they had their goal that first week last week was to connect with all their kids and their families and find out the answers to those questions. First and foremost, basics. We were able to give out about 95% of our school's Chromebooks, and we have a very clear understanding of who has internet and who doesn't. So we're able then to say, okay, now we know why they're not checking in, so let's make a phone call. They were also able to find out, like, from parents saying, I just lost my job. I need help. I have 5 kids at home. How do I make this work at my house? So just that expectation of, I don't care if you do nothing more that first week we came back from spring break. If all you did was be able to connect with each and every one of your students, it was a successful week. And so that's the only task I gave them that first week is to do, because we don't want any of our kids falling through the cracks. We'd want to make sure we know how we can best support. In fact, the other thing that we used is GoGuardian, right, to track their computer use. And what's great about that is that it's able to notify us as administrators when things are inappropriate, but also when there's a seek for help. And so just yesterday, my counselor and my assistant principal, we got an alert, and this is a student who said, I can't take this anymore. I want to hurt myself, and I have access to a sharp object at home. So they did a virtual WebEx crisis assessment, and they had to call the crisis team because this child needed help. But if we were not in tune with that, and we didn't care enough to say, my counselor plays a huge role in what we do, and she's making phone calls, and she's making personal WebEx connections with them to say, I'm here for you. And she's reaching out to all of our high-risk kids. So we definitely have a team, and those kids that teachers have not been able to connect with in all these different ways, my office staff is working remotely to contact and find all the, they're going through every single emergency number that they can find. So we are all working as a team to make sure not one of our kids gets lost in the system.
Yeah, what's interesting too is, you know, how quickly you got all those Chromebooks out and got those connected. And, you know, in a traditional environment, how many times would it have been like, we're going to debate for months on end, like, will they get stolen? What happens if they break? Are they going to have to pay? And in modes like this, we really just, what's most important and how do we get kids what they need? And it's fascinating to me how we make the right decision so quickly in times like this, where for so long we can just banter about, well, what happens if, but that those questions weren't asked.
Wasn't even an issue. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please do.
I was going to say that one of the things that has come out of this, that when I was thinking about like what gives me hope and then this whole idea of equity, is how often do we hear from educators saying, oh, well, parents just don't care, or they're just not involved. And when you see what just happened with the distribution of, they were there to pick up Chromebooks. My gosh, the line was just, they were waiting. The parents knew they needed it. And there, we have so many emails, parent emails now. The parents are connected in so many ways now. And so it's really demystifying and breaking that myth, right, of parents don't care and they're just not involved. That's false. It's false. Every parent cares about their child. It's just now our educators are starting to see, wow, I'm looking into their homes now and I'm realizing there's so many other issues that are keeping them from maybe coming to a parent conference or maybe coming to that family night, right? So this is something beautiful that's coming from it as well.
Absolutely. You know, I really believe the difference between making a judgment, which is something that we all do naturally, it's natural mm-hmm. for humans to do, but the difference between making a judgment and having empathy, it's understanding the story. And here your teachers are really understanding the story of the kids in which they serve, more so now than ever before. And
absolutely.
I love how you're prioritizing the people side, the human side.
Always.
That connection, because ultimately without it, and you know, in the story that you shared about that child in crisis, you know, now is really magnified the mental health issues that we have, the isolation, and so many people are struggling with that. And so as educators, keeping that on the front burner is just so vital. So let me ask you this, because you know, when I hear a story like that, for me, that's one of those things that keeps me up at night. But this idea around fear, like there's so many things we're fearful of. We don't know what's coming. We're not sure when lockdowns will end. You know, escalation in terms of the deaths around the pandemic continues mm-hmm. to rise. So fear is just so paramount. And how, as an educational leader, as a building principal, you have so many people looking to you for decision-making. How do you navigate fear in your own world? But then what recommendations do you have for educators as well?
So for me, the way I navigate fear on any day really is waking up with a positive mindset. And when I say that, it's not just like I'm, you know, happy-go-lucky all the time, but it really is about mindset and what we choose to see and how we choose to address and how we choose to attack the obstacles that come our way. Like we talked about earlier, I stay connected to others. When I stay connected to others and I realize I'm not alone through this, I'm not the only one going through this, that my colleague in the next district, my colleague across the country, we're all going through this, then that helps me lower my anxiety and say, okay, you know what? I'm not alone, but we can get through this together. There's nothing to fear because we're all learning and we're all going through it together. It's not isolated to just Alice Birney Elementary or just to Jessica and her team. It's across the nation, across the world. And then I really do try to stay away from the news as much as possible, just because having that play over and over and over in my head, this doesn't do me any good, right? It doesn't do me any, yes, I want to know what's going on, but only to a certain extent. And there's this idea of trying to find the beautiful moments in a day, right? Yesterday, I just posted a picture of, I went downstairs to get some water and I saw my daughter and my mom crocheting, and that would have never happened, right? That would have never happened had we not been in this situation. And those are moments that you want to not forget, and you want to really hone in on those moments and appreciate them and look for them. We went out for, it was pouring rain here in California yesterday, and it had stopped for a little bit. I'm like, okay, kids, we're going to go walk a dog. We're going to go out for a walk. And the rain's not coming back for another 2 hours. Well, halfway through, it's a hailstorm. And so we're like, Mom. And I said, it's okay. Let's have fun. So we got soaked. The hail was coming down. We were just having a great old time. And those are the things that, you know what? Really hone into that, because that's what matters, and try to focus your energy on that and not on the fear, because the fear will always be there no matter what.
Yeah, it's funny how in those moments like that hailstorm, that you embrace it, you laugh, you smile, you play in it, where, you know, weeks ago it may have been ruined our day. Now I've got to do law, you know, and it's just that mindset piece that you continue to refer to. It's just really so vital. So let me ask you this question. You know, you're such a community oriented person. You constantly are talking about your people. It is no secret you are loving on and caring for your people. How do you take care of yourself in this process? And as the principal, how do you stay on top of your game with all that's out there so you can support people without burning your own self out? What recommendations? Yeah.
For me personally, so I, on top of this and in my regular world without this, I do teach spin classes. So I have not been able to teach spin classes, and I don't own a spin bike at my house because I always had access to spin bikes wherever it went. So for me, that's been huge. But what I have been able to do is I make sure that I put in movement and exercise for myself, just because I know that's something that I need. And I was just on a webinar last week with Rachel George and Jessica Cabine, and they were talking about like this ideal work week and the schedule, you leading that schedule, not letting the schedule guide you, right? And so it really made me think about, like, now that I'm home working, I need to make sure that I make time for that, because that's important for me. And so that's like one of the first things I do in the morning. And so it gets my day going on the right piece. So I make time for that. I love to read. And so, yes, I love to read, educational books, but I love to read just for fun and get lost in a story. So I make time for that. And I tell my kids, you know what, I'm going to read right now. So I need everybody to sit down and read too, because I need quiet time, or they know to leave me alone for that. But I have to make some quiet time for myself, and whether it's reading or working on a puzzle, something that distracts me, that makes me happy, a hobby or something, I need to make it work it into my day for me to be able to stay, because I need to stay mentally, physically, and emotionally stable. I need to be in a point where I can neutralize myself so that I can be available for everybody else that needs me.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking care of yourself, you know, as principals and educators, you're constantly the people that are just going and going and going until you've got nothing left.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking care of yourself doesn't mean that, you know, this idea of doing whatever it takes for kids
right.
does not mean that we run over ourselves in the process. And so especially right now with all that's going on, that idea around self-care is so vital. So let me ask you this. Again, I've alluded to just seeing so much positivity come out from your building, all the things that you share, but your team has been like completely flipped on end to say, like, now we're going to do it very differently in a very short time period, like you alluded to. What is it that makes you most proud as a building principal right now?
I mentioned it earlier, just to see the level of growth in my teachers. I was just on a couple of grade level meetings earlier before this, and I was just listening to them. I wasn't even like adding in any ideas or interests, but they were just trying to figure out Nearpod and Screencastify and WebEx and this and that. And I'm thinking, OMG, I've never heard them. And these are teachers that are my less quote unquote tech savvy teachers, right? And they're figuring it out. And I thought, wow, I step back and I just take that all in amazement and think, oh my gosh, the level of growth happening with our teachers is like no other. And who gets to benefit from that? Our kids. And, you know, we were back and forth. Do we give Chromebooks to our TK kids? Do we not? And my TK teacher was like, I don't know. They've never used them. I said, you know what? We're giving it to them. So we gave them Chromebooks to four-year-olds, and I am sure that they are figuring it out one way or another, but it's about equity, right? Why are we not going to give them, why are we going to hold them back when they probably know more than we do? So being able to see our teachers say, okay, well, we'll figure it out. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to figure it out. And that mentality is just amazing. And just being able to give them grace at this time and give myself grace to know that I don't know everything, but I'm right there with them. That's the biggest thing. They need to know that you have their back, and they need to know that you are very gracious and understanding, because they have their families at home too.
So well said. So one final question for you. You know, as an educational leader, we've got people coast to coast that are stepping out every single day, trying new things, working outside of their comfort zones, from superintendents to first grade teachers to instructional support staff. What's one piece of advice you have right now for educators leading through these unprecedented times?
To know that it's not going to be perfect and be okay with that. Perfection is not the end goal, but we cannot not try, and not trying is not okay. We need to know that we are in this together, and that if we fail, well, we fail trying, and we'll just get right back up and try again, because there's always a solution. And don't go through this alone, because you don't have to.
Amazing words of advice. That's Jessica Gomez, everybody. Jessica, thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.